The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. One of us is wrong here. The other is Peter Boyles on News Talk 710, KNUS.
I'm learning how many morning show listeners went to the dog track. It's like unbelievable the amount of emails that are coming in about the dog track. It is a Friday morning and it's a gift. It is Friday the 13th, and usually an unlucky day, and it's a very lucky day for us this morning because in our studio, the one, the only, Bill Rogan, and his life ain't the same in the Pecos League and as a manager, but he was a radio guy. And I don't know when I met Billy years ago, and he's just hilarious. Off the air, he's better. I have this theory that on that last day, that we'll do off-air, on-air, and on-air, off-air, and then we'll all just leave.
Well, if we do the off-air, on-air, you won't have a job much longer.
No, that's the point of it.
Go out with a bang.
Yeah, that's like you're taping the mistletoe in the back of your Levi's, and you're going to the elevator.
This I know game's that over. Feeling. I
mean, well, and then Billy, so I found a Billy Thorpe morning show board op producer extraordinaire. He's the gray eminence of the show. So the people just catching up. He comes in and he said he gave Billy a gig at the dog track.
Yes.
I've known Billy, man and boy. I didn't know about the dog track. And I said, you know, okay, say what you – I did pro wrestling, but I didn't work the dog track.
Well, we needed a person at the dog track, and I thought of Thorpe. And he said, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, we did it both here and in Colorado Springs.
That's right.
Yeah, I got to do both of them. I mean, two different tracks.
They're sending me all these stuff.
Actually, the last dog race ever in Commerce City was announced by Bill Thorpe.
Yeah, because Rogan couldn't make it. Yeah, it was supposed to be him and should have been him.
Yeah, but I went to New York for my mom's 70th birthday.
Yeah, you did. Wow. So I ended up doing the last one there. And I did give a shout out to you, and I gave you a lot of respect to Rogan, my mentor, and we had a lot of fun. And I still remember, what was it, the war deputy out there, that dog?
I forget.
Yeah.
I remember Blazon. That was the best dog I've ever seen.
Yeah, and then you had the war deputy. It was a big, big brown, like brownish gray. Greyhound. It was a monster.
You guys, it's like we started up a dog track.
Yeah. What? Well, for a while there, Bill and I, our careers went to the dogs.
Oh, you guys were at the dogs. I mean, this
they paid us well to really just talk about dogs running around in ovals.
But lovingly, these are dog track fans, aficionados. Yeah.
Greyhound, right? And they took care of those dogs like you wouldn't believe.
You told me that. Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, the do-gooders thinking, oh, they're taking advantage of the dogs. No, the dogs are treated very well.
Didn't Irv Brown get into greyhound stuff and they took the dogs after they ran the tracks? I think he and his wife, Pat, had a couple of greyhounds. I think they
Irv
did.
Brown was out there quite a bit.
Oh, loved it. Yeah. We're talking about off-air, we're talking about radio a lot. Joe Williams, we're talking about certain people that you and I listen to that don't know who got's about sports, but they got sports shows. And, or they don't know anything about radio. But back when these legends were working, the late Irv Brown, who I just adored, the hitman, Joe Williams, who comes on with us from time to time, Woody Page did it. All those guys were doing, they were doing radio. And it started out, you know, there was Larry Zimmer and Bob Martin, but they were like, they were citizens. You know, they called the games for the Broncos, and today we have Dave Logan. There's nobody better than Dave Logan. Dave is the man. But then you get all these wild card guys.
Well, Larry Zimmer was the first person I knew in Denver when I moved here from New York.
Good man.
And I always thought Larry sounded like college football.
Yeah,
you'd hear him, and he just sounded. Yeah. He was almost the Keith Jackson of radio.
Very much so.
You know, you hear Keith Jackson on TV. Oh, Nelly.
No, Larry. Larry and Bridget, his wife Bridget, born in Germany. Yeah. We skied together for years.
She used
to
keep stats for him.
She did. And she's a really funny woman. And we skied in Winter Park together all the time. John Beek, who was the general manager of the Broncos, and Larry. And when I learned to ski after I got sober, and I used to ski with Larry and Bridget.
I love Larry Zimmer.
Good man.
Great guy.
Really a good man.
And again, he just sounded like college football.
Oh, he knew what he was talking about. You know, and so when Larry sat down, Larry knew. Larry actually met Bridget, I think, at the Olympics. She was an interpreter.
Oh, really?
And that's okay. Where they met. Yeah, it's a story that I've always been told.
You know what Larry likes a lot that I would never picture?
Opera.
Opera, there you go.
And Bob. And Bob Martin, when I was the late, great Bob Martin, when I was at KOA, and Bob would come in. He was intellectual. Bob's a very bright guy. And he would listen to the show, and I maybe had a level of it. He would sit down and talk. Nothing about sports, but about politics and art. And the other one was Bob Palmer. Remember Bob Palmer?
No, I don't.
He was a news anchor here.
And
we're on the same building. It was KOA TV, and it was the FM, the AM, and the television station. They're still there. Channel 4 is still there on Lincoln Street. And I got to know Palmer, and same thing, way smart, same guy, gruff. You know, everybody's kind of afraid of him. You know, so we're talking about when you were a kid growing up. You were a Bruce Morrow guy, and for sports,
Marv Albert was my sports casting idol, and then years later I found out he wore women's underwear.
Yeah, he was here. He lived here.
Hey, we've all been there, right?
If that's the only thing.
But Marv, I used to love Marv, Phil Rizzuto. Yeah. Nationally, Kurt Gowdy was a guy I loved.
Incredible.
You know, from Wyoming.
We're telling rodeo stories, and Kurt Gowdy used to do Wide World Sports, and he and Larry Mahan, once a year, they would do Cheyenne. And I was trying to rodeo a little bit, and I was in the radio business. And the late, great Bob Edson, who was GM of the Professional Rodeos Cowboys Association, got me a job up there and I was spotting bulls for Larry and Kurt. And there's a legendary story of a fight I saw one night in a bar that was unbelievable in Wyoming. And Kurt Gowdy and Larry were on the stage. And you could talk to Kurt Gowdy, man. They're like, you know, Kurt Gowdy was like, you could, he was
he
like,
was great.
Oh, but he was like, they got Kurt Gowdy State Park now.
Yeah. And another guy who was tremendous, and he recently passed away, Dick Enberg.
Oh, man, huh?
And I loved him, and I got a chance to meet him at Coors Field when he was announcing the Padres games, you know, toward the end of his career. Super nice guy. Super nice.
Yeah, Dave Logan always says you could go down and, you know, in the opposite guys, these legends that called games. And he said, the guys were really good. We're always like, hey.
And Vince Scully, too.
Oh.
Now, I don't get starstruck. I mean, you could have the biggest star in the world come in here right now, and it'll be like, I don't care. Yeah. You know, nice to meet you. You're a human being, too.
Yeah, right.
But Vince Scully, I was starstruck. And I always wanted to introduce myself to him so I could say I met him. And it took me about 8 years covering Rockies games till I finally went up to him.
Good guy.
Great guy.
See.
And I talked to him about he played baseball at Fordham.
Oh, man.
And he went from playing baseball at Fordham to announcing Brooklyn Dodgers games in 1950.
I knew that he had jumped
and
across.
And he was a center fielder, so I said, you must have been pretty quick.
Had some legs.
He goes, I could run, but I couldn't hit the curveball.
Oh, couldn't hit the deuce.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, it's like...
He had one of the great... Here's how great Vince Scully was. I was watching a game one time, and a right-handed pitcher threw a ball, and it went sideways over the third base dugout. And Vince Scully said, it looked like he was throwing a bar of wet soap. And that's the perfect description.
Oh, well, what was your, you guys had a home run calls?
I have a home run call.
All right.
As a matter of fact, this past summer in Houston, I announced all the Pecos League games because it was a scaled down version of the league.
Right.
And my home run call is Yaya. It would be like, Peter Boyle's at the plate. Here's the pitch. Fly ball, deep left field, way back there. Yaya!
Yaya.
And I got that from the Dominican kids. When I was announcing minor league baseball in the 90s, the Dominican kids all yell, Yaya! For a home run. Yaya!
All right.
And it's Yaya Apo! For opposite field home run.
Yeah.
So it's a unique call and gets the point across. And here's the pitch to Thorpe. Swing and a miss, strike three. Sorry, Bill.
Well, we grew up on Bob Prince. The Gunner. And I've written about it that, it's nostalgic. But going home, and the Pirates played afternoon games, and, you know, the houses were close, you could hear the ball game all the way home because people, you know, nobody had air conditioning, but they had those screens that would expand. And somebody, and the moms would be in the kitchens, and the Gunner's on calling the games. And you could walk home from whatever we were doing, and you could listen to the game going home because everybody listened to Prince and Jim Woods.
I always liked Bob Prince when the Pirates won a nail-biter.
Yeah, had him all the way. I still say that. We got this. We got this. I tell the kids all the time, we got this. But we had him all the way, and he had a life. Oh, what Prince didn't do. But you didn't know it at the time, you know? You didn't know what those guys were like.
KDKA Radio.
KDKA.
That was the first station that ever broadcast the baseball game.
Just celebrated their 100 years.
Yeah, it was, I think, 1921. A guy named Harold Arlen announced the first baseball game ever.
They just did their 100 years, and you know, it's nostalgic because it was the KOAs, 50,000 watts, and it's the only radio station east of the Mississippi that starts with a K.
There you go.
Everybody else is a W, and they were just unique guys. And I think I'm sure it's a total different boogie today, but back then, when you're a little kid, you know, that's what we listened to.
Well, baseball announcers in the past had personality.
Absolutely.
I believe announcers today, if they didn't have a stat sheet, they'd be lost.
Is that right? Yeah.
Or if they didn't have a media guide in front of them, they'd be lost.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy like Vin Scully, Ernie Harwell out of Detroit.
Actually, I did a show with him once.
Ernie was great.
Great. Jack Brickhouse.
Jack Brickhouse. Hey, hey! That was his call.
Brickhouse did wrestling when it began in the 50s on television. And we talked about it. It was a great interview. Really great interview.
Yeah.
Those guys were, you know, Dave Logan, who goes without saying, Dave was, there's three guys I know that came in and sat down and did it right away and had it down. Mike Rosen came in, sat down and got radio. Alan Berg walked in, sat down and got radio. And Dave Logan literally took his helmet off, sat down, because Irv Braun helped him, sat down and did radio. Everybody else we had to work at.
Well, Dave Logan, I believe, is one of the few athletes who actually worked at it and didn't think, well, I'm a former athlete. This is easy.
No,
he actually, you know, worked at it.
He's the best. I mean, Dave calling a game, you know, he played it and he knows what he's doing.
Well, but one thing I do like about Dave Logan is that he doesn't scream and yell. You can actually hear what's going on.
Doesn't have to. Remember that, like Pauly and Goodfellas?
Yeah.
That's Dave.
Yeah.
He didn't. What's the great thing is it?
And he's a big sucker, Dave Logan.
I got stories.
I mean, I know he's a former NFL player, but when you talk to him, you got to look straight up.
Seen Uncle Dave put the fear of God in some people.
You probably too.
Those days are over for me, but Dave, and when there was a great pro wrestler that becomes Van Vader and Leon White. Leon played football up at CU with Dave, and then he went to the Rams for a while, and Dave, of course, went to Cleveland. So I worked with Leon, and we used to talk about Dave, and he said Dave Logan was the toughest guy he ever knew. So when Leon passed away, Dave jumped ship and came over and did a radio show to talk about Leon. And Leon said, Dave Logan was the toughest man I ever knew. And Dave Logan said, Leon White's the toughest guy I ever knew in my life. So who do you think was the toughest guy that you think that you knew or came across? Tough guys. Legitimate.
Legitimate tough guys. Wow.
In baseball. We were talking about Billy Martin.
Billy Martin was a guy you didn't want to mess with. There was a guy, Hal McCray, played for the Kansas City Royals, and he would take guys out. Don Baylor was another guy.
Oh, I love Don Baylor.
Don Baylor was tough.
Yeah.
A guy would drill him with a fastball, and it would be like a mosquito hitting a windshield, and Baylor would just go down to first base.
What would you do when you – would you have a guy charge the mound ever playing for you?
We had three fights last year in the Pecos League.
Yeah.
And two of them I was in the middle of. The third one, I said, I'm tired of this. I'm too old.
Too old for this.
Because I was waiting to get, you know, sucker. You get sucker punched in those brawls.
Do you know, you ever in those moments when light goes on, so now.
Yeah. A moment of clarity.
Like in the old days, I'm not, you know, no, I don't think so. I reconnected with a bunch of guys I grew up with, and I said, Your date was a fight.
Well, we had a guy in the neighborhood. His name was Nails. I can't remember his real name.
They don't have to have
any
more.
He used to get his head beat in every day.
No.
Hit mouth off, get beat up, and back the next day and do it again.
We just lost Jerry Jeff Walker, who was legendary. People beat him up. And he'd tell people that I've been beat up worse by bikers, and he'd say stuff like that. And I adore Jerry Jeff. I don't know. I mean, is the era come and gone? I'm going to come back to people charging the mound. Because I promised I wanted to talk more baseball. And could you see it from the dugout, and would you run out with him when he went for the mound to go after somebody?
Yeah, I can tell you a story.
Please.
We had a fight. You want it now? Okay, I thought we were going to commercial break there. But I guess
seven
not.
More minutes.
Okay. Maybe I should let you run the show.
No, go ahead. Take your time. You've done it before.
Well, we had a game. We had a pitcher named Will Morris who cranked it up there pretty good. And we're playing White Sands. They're from Alamogordo. And we're in Tucson. And the pitch gets by the catcher. And a runner's coming down from third. Will's covering the plate. Bang, bang, play. The umpire calls him out. Hard tag, clean play. And the runner throws his helmet down and starts jaw-jacking with my pitcher, who starts jaw-jacking back.
Sure.
And then the runner sticks his chest in my pitcher's face, and my pitcher took a step back. He's a right-handed throwing pitcher, so smartly with his left hand, popped him in the mouth, and the brawl was on. And the next day, the umpire supervisor met with me and a guy named Matt Chambers, who was the manager of White Sands, who I didn't get along with very well. And he brought us together and said, we can't have tonight what we had last night. And I said, well, I can't control that. You know, in the heat of the battle, I can't control if a guy throws a punch. Yeah. And the other manager, Matt, says, well, if you can't control your players and it happens again, I'm coming after you.
Oh, man.
And I said, is that
that's in the book. Sure.
I said, is that a threat? That. Come on, I'm right here. Take your shot. Let's go.
No, let's go. Yeah.
And the umpire supervisor got between us, fortunately. So,
thank you. I bring this up.
Well, there was the one in Alpine.
Yeah, you
where
told about that.
Guy was trying to climb into our bullpen. Big brawl was on. And they finally contained this guy who just went frantic. And this is a guy who's ripped. I mean, he's like muscle on muscle. And so when I saw that he was constrained, I looked at him. I put my hands out. Like,
hey.
Yeah, what are you doing? Come on. Come you want on. A piece of me? Let's go.
Yeah.
And I meanwhile, I'm thinking,
hold
don't
him.
Let him go.
Hold him. Hold him.
Hold him back,
hold
boys.
Hold him back, boys. That, in the book, Perfect, the papers book on Don Larson. But what he does in that book, and I should have, foolishly, I should have brought the book and given it to you. But he goes every inning, who's up, who's – but he does these bios. And he gets to Carl Furillo. And, you know, what do I know about Carl Furillo? Carl Furillo was number one, tough. He hated Leo DeRocher.
And I'm aware of that.
Gets a base hit and running down the first baseline. Cuts right, dives in the dugout, starts popping Leo DeRocher. But he had went in the military, and he was in the Pacific Ocean, and he was in, and he never talked, like a lot of guys don't talk. And he came home, and finally, and his son said he saw him again after he died. It's all this really emotional stuff. And so he would never talk, and the boys finally pushed him, and he said, I'll give you a question and you a question. And the one boy said, did you ever kill anybody? And Furillo said, yes. And the other kid said, did you like it? Furillo said, no. Now, no more questions. But those kind of guys. I mean, like, how tough was Carl Furillo?
The Redding Rifle was his name.
Exactly. From Redding, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. He worked on the World Trade Center, too, after his playing career.
That's right, he did.
He was in construction.
Just for me, but just tough.
Tough as nails.
Oh. I mean, and they were willing. I mean, maybe, I don't know, like...
There were fewer jobs back then. There were only 16 teams, and guys looked at rookies as a threat.
Threats.
And it wasn't like, hey, Skip, I need to take a day off here.
No.
No, you better stay in the lineup.
That was the point. You played hurt. They make that all the time. You don't go to say, I don't feel good.
Yeah. And
what did you do with guys when they would come and they'd say... Well, you have a guy that disappeared. I mean,
disappear.
You got a guy disappear.
It was it's an interesting collection of people we had in the Pecos League.
You're the old man that came in and pitched. How old was that guy?
He was 51, Dan Clemens. And actually saw him a couple of weeks ago in our old guys championship game.
Brought him in.
Well, he was on the other team now. We were teammates for a while. But that's a great story. That's a story that could be made into a movie.
A guy who had...
All right, I'll tell the story. Dan Clemens, he lives down in Castle Rock. Yeah. And I was short on pitching one weekend. I called him to see if he would be interested. You know, I might need an extra arm to throw an inning or two. And, you know, Dan doesn't throw 90 miles an hour like these guys. But he knows how to pitch. He's got control. He's a big guy. You know, he's 6'3". He's in good shape for his age. Yeah. Terrific shape. And I knew he'd be able to do the job. And he did. And I called him on a couple of occasions to come help us out. And he shocked our team at how good he was. Mm. I mean, he had a 3.24 ERA over four games. Yeah. Which is pretty good for a 51-year-old. But in July 27th of 2019, he pitched two innings, scoreless innings, against Monterey out in California. Did great. The official score actually came down and shook his hand after the game and said that was remarkable. But it was exactly 1 year to the day after he had open heart surgery.
Yeah, wow.
You know, he had open heart surgery, and then a year later, I'm managing him in professional baseball. It was surreal.
How tough are you?
He's a tough guy, Dan.
Oh, man.
He's a tough guy.
Oh, those guys are tough.
So he loves the game. And the Pecos League is a love-the-game league, and it's a no-regrets league. This is the last chance for guys to do something and move up in pro ball. And
did you ever see a sleeper film called Long Time Gone?
No.
About the guys after the Second World War and they're playing minor league ball? That's powerful.
Really?
That's really powerful stuff. Bang the Drum Slowly.
That's a great movie.
Oh.
That's a heart.
That'll tear you apart.
Yeah,
and I love Major League. I think that's good. Or You know, when it's always good. As Costner is always good in those films.
He is.
I mean, I love him. You know, he's like
Love of the Game was a great movie.
That's what I'm talking about, when he cuts his hand and yeah he's. I mean, he's like.
And he was in Bull Durham and Field of Dreams.
Well, Bull Durham, there's nothing better than Bull Durham, uncut. As long as it isn't.
The uncut version is good.
It's like Blazing Saddles.
Lollygaggers.
And it's like Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
And all you got to watch is three minutes of it. Know whether or not they messed the movie up or not.
Blazing Saddles would never be made today.
Can't be. But it is still... Alex Karras, I got to meet Karras.
Oh, really? Mongo.
But he... What's up? We got 2 seconds. Because he wrestled pro. And during the cheating scandals. And he in Detroit, and he fought Dick the Bruiser. He's got these stories.
Well, I didn't like Alex Karras because he punched a horse in Blazing Saddles.
But he was.
I'm an animal rights activist.
Yeah, but he was unquestionably, you know, in Ducks and Mad Bears, and you know all this. They, you know, and he goes off to play football. And he goes down to he steals all the clothes, you know, because he didn't have any clothes, didn't have any money. He starts stealing clothes, you know. But he is for real. I mean, he was like, I mean, when he died, it just. I mean,
Hall of Famer, too. He's a great football player with the Lions.
But he told stories off air with Coach Cosell. And then he talked about when he fought him and Dick the Bruiser. And he needed money. He was jammed up for gambling. He said, I bet on our team. He said, I bet against myself. And I'm going to bring up Pete Rose to you in a minute. But he said, I always bet on me. And him and Paul Horning. And they got jammed up. Well, Horning had money and Karras didn't have any money.
Yeah. So Paul was the golden boy.
He was the golden boy. And so he decides what he's going to wrestle. And they decide it's going to be either Joe Louis or Kobo. I forget if it was Kobo. But they had a bar. And he tells me the story. He said they had a bar. So, you know, there's shoots and works. You know, there's the pretend stuff that's called it's called working. And then there's something called a shoot that gets real. So Richard Alphys is Dick the Bruiser, and he had played for the Green Bay Packers, and guys hated Dick the Bruiser. So they think, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to do a work, and then we're going to sell out tickets. So Alex Karras' father-in-law is behind the bar, and Dick the Bruiser comes going to start a bar fight, and the Bruiser comes in drunk, and he goes real. And he said, and then the cops billy club Dick the Bruiser between the horns, and he's got blood running down his face. He said, front page of the Detroit Free Press. He said, Dick the Bruiser, drenched in blood, my father is in our bar. I said, how'd you do? He said, we sold the joint out.
Good publicity.
Oh, it was great. And it was Karras' story, but he goes on, and he was calling him Richard the Bruiser, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But Karras was, I mean, great. I mean, just like you go, God, I'm so glad I met you. And he was still pretty strong.
True character.
The best. Hold on, and we'll come back, and we'll tell that story when we get on your side. 710 KNUS, the one and only. Bill Rogan's here. Life ain't the same in the Pecos League. You can get it on Amazon. It's a great read. Truly an art to putting together the perfect kitchen or bathroom remodel. If you want the best countertops, wholesale pricing, need to contact Mitch Floria and the Art of Granite. Mitch is an expert and a craftsman. He can turn granite, quartz, marble, other materials into a true work of art right in your home. Schedule a virtual consultation with Mitch. And Mitch grew up in, here's one. Mitch grew up in Romania under the Ceausescus. He's got stories. He's got the stories he'll tell on the air, and he's got
some scary stories.
Oh, the Ceausescus are running it.
Yeah, okay.
Think about it.
Yeah.
It's not good. And he's got, and said, you want to do this? Schedule a consultation with Mitch, 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. The website, artofgranite.com. What a good guy. What a great time. Get it done. Mention 710KNUS and a bathroom countertop free. Purchase of your fantastic new kitchen countertops. Kitchen or bathroom sink free with a purchase any countertop package. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. Artofgranite.com. Artofgranite.com.
Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
The one and only Bill Rogan, Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS. I told him anytime he's bored, give Billy a call, walk over here and come to work with us. Friday morning, it's Friday the 13th, but it's not an unlucky day. It's a lucky day. And congratulations to Urban Lights and their 40th year in their lighting business. And the guys are truly the best. Celebrate the anniversary sale going on right now, Saturday and Sunday. 40% off all lighting, 70% off all clearance items. Incredible deals this weekend. 20,000 square feet, gorgeous lighting displays. Check it out. The place is like an art gallery. Take advantage of the experts who will help you plan the perfect design for your home. Unique shopping experience like getting complimentary design services and always find the lowest prices guaranteed. Name brand ceiling fans, Minka Air and Kichler, and unbelievable. Truly, 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 you want this and do it right. Take it from me, the best. Find them south of I-25 on Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi, 7 days a week, local experts, and bring genuine value their urban lights. The book is available on Amazon, Life Ain't the Same, in the Pecos League, the one and only Bill Rogan. I was going to ask you one question. What is the biggest upset in sports that you remember that stands out for you?
Easy, the 1980 United States hockey team over the Soviet Union.
I'd have never come up with that one. That's great.
That to me, and it's funny because about 2 weeks before they played in the Olympics at Madison Square Garden, they had an exhibition game, and I went to it, and the Russians won something like 11-3.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to my friend Jimmy, there's no way this team loses. I mean, the race is for the silver medal. There's no way that this Russian team will lose. And somehow this scrappy bunch of kids in the USA uniforms won it with Herb Brooks as the coach. I think that's the biggest upset of all time.
I would have never called that one.
And we were talking boxing earlier. Mike Tyson. Buster Douglas. I mean, I didn't see that one coming.
Now, I use that as an example. Buster Douglas did not win that fight. Mike Tyson lost it.
Yeah, he changed his trainer.
Everything.
He got rid of his trainer, Kevin Rooney.
Crazy woman he was with.
And Robin Givens. Should have been Robin Takens.
Oh, and Taken.
I mean, she just took advantage of it. And Mike's not the smartest guy in the world. And
you know, he didn't
train for that fight like he should have.
He like thought looking past.
Thought it would be easy.
Yeah.
And to give Buster Douglas credit, he's one of the few guys at that time who wasn't intimidated.
Right.
If you remember, Marvis Frazier went in the ring. He was scared.
Hid from him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd hide from him, too.
Yeah, I would have run around the ring for a while. But
they have stories about him, man, that just scare you, you know.
But
he wins the belt. He takes the strap.
Yeah.
And he goes on the street corner looking for fights.
Yeah, Mike Tyson always said, you know, you find your real character when you get punched in the face. Buster Douglas punched him in the face, and Mike Tyson wasn't used to that.
But he was on Prozac. I mean, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, he was not himself.
But, you know, when I first saw him as a fight fan, I said, the kid that's going to beat Mike Tyson hasn't been born yet. You know, he had the Roonies, you know, he had all those lunatics. And of course, you know, the old man took care of him. And after he died.
Yeah, once Jacobs died, it was over for Tyson.
And they were just remarkable guys. I'm a huge Namath fan. I love Joe Willie. He's my guy. I mean, of all the guys that ever, I know I want to meet him. We talked one time at a sobriety thing, but I want to have him do the radio show, tell stories. Who's better than Joe Namath?
Love Joe Namath. Uh-huh. He's still a god in New York. I'm a Giants fan, but I still love Joe Namath. And that's, you talk about upsets when the Jets beat the Colts in Super Bowl III.
That's it.
And he guaranteed it.
Oh.
You hear a lot of guys. I remember Patrick Ewing with the Knicks. Every year he was guaranteeing they would beat the Bulls. After a while, you stop thinking, all right, you guarantee it, fine. He never came through. Joe Willie came through.
Because they made him mad. I mean, I've read all this stuff. The sports writers kept punking him. And he said, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Because they punked him and he said it.
And he said he saw the films of the Colts. And he thought that they had the matchup ability to beat him.
Jim Turner tells great stories about
the kicker.
The kicker. He tells, and he always said, and JT, we got to get JT to do a show too. Jim Turner had the best Jets stories because he was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to talk about the media. And he said, the media in Denver, talking about the Broncos, he said, go play in New York. True?
That is true.
Oh.
That is true. The media can be really harsh.
Oh.
One of my favorite things to do, you know, growing up a Yankees fan, I hate the Red Sox. I love reading the Boston papers when the Red Sox are in a losing streak or things go bad for Boston.
Well, that's back in the Ty Cobb book. The stuff that they said about Ruth and Cobb, and they baited them.
Oh, yeah.
Grantland Rice.
Well, you know the story about Grantland Rice and Ty Cobb, the letters. When Ty Cobb was
wrote
in the minor leagues,
wrote his own mail.
He was sending letters to Grantland Rice saying, you got to see this kid in Augusta.
And Grantland Rice compares the handwriting and says, well, it's the same guy. And they know.
But
they
know it got Ty some pub.
Now, you're going back. You're going to go back and manage again?
I'll be managing in Santa Fe this upcoming year. I was supposed to be there this season, but the COVID stuff messed that up. But the Santa Fe Fuego, it's a small ballpark, 7,200 feet, and I'm looking for pitchers who are not afraid.
What does that mean?
It means it's a small ballpark.
Sure,
your stats
hit.
Are not going to be great.
You're not going to get
I want to see guys who are bulldogs, who are not going to worry about their stats. Every night there's a winning and losing pitcher.
Sure.
Worry about that. Don't worry about a cheap home run flying out.
There's always that rap that pitchers are head cases. Is
they
true?
Are.
Yeah, that's the truth.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, here's a good story. I don't think I put it in the book. We had a kid, Matt Reitz, and we're playing in Alpine, and they have a speed gun there. Mm. And so he got lit up. I take him out of the game. And a couple of innings later, he comes over to me and goes, hey, Skip, how hard was I throwing?
Ooh.
And I said, I don't know, but they were going out pretty hard.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, the radar gun is overrated. Can you get guys out? My best pitcher in Tucson topped out at 87 miles an hour, and I had guys who were throwing 92, couldn't get anybody out.
Show them the heater.
Exactly. But you got to know where the ball's going a little bit.
Well, I mean, the book is a series of vignettes. It's stories, and they're funny. I mean, you know, wrong motels and, you know, being who you are. And I knew you well. And I'm going, this is a Rogan. You know, I do stuff. And I go, God, is that a place? You know, I do. Well, you did that one, didn't you? You talk to yourself when you're out there playing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What do you say?
Well, when a pitcher's not throwing well, I'm saying to myself, why can't this guy throw strikes?
Yeah.
And other times I'll be like, oh, my God, I can't believe he got a hit. Or
how do you know when to yank a guy?
Well, when he's not getting ahead in the count, when maybe his stuff isn't sharp, when guys are getting good swings off him.
Yeah.
Not necessarily base hits all the time, but you can tell when a guy's hit, guys are continually having comfortable at-bats. You don't like seeing that.
Yeah.
I like seeing guys off balance, late on swings, not always comfortable in the box, lunging at pitches, guys who mix speeds. And, you know, and one of the things I'm proud of, I always said to myself, I'm going to do what's best for the team.
Yeah.
So there were times I knew the pitcher didn't want to come out. He may have been effective earlier, but now he's losing his stuff. My opinion, we need a fresh arm in there. And I'd go out there, and there'd be mound battles.
What do you say when you walk out?
I say, hey, give me the ball.
He knows you. He knows you. He sees you coming.
And then they try to say, like, hey,
I still got this.
And my line, and I got it from my player personnel guy, J.D. Drotty, mm-hmm. who lives in the Springs. Yeah. When he managed, he would say, this is not a debate. Give me the ball.
Wow.
And that's what I would say. So if I came out to take
that's
you
brutal.
Out,
that's
hey,
brutal.
Peter, give me the ball. Oh, no, I can get this. Just give me the ball. It's not a debate. And no pitcher wants to come out. No pitcher ever wants to come out.
See, that's really, you know.
And baseball players are myopic. It's all about me. They don't look at the team concept.
Yeah.
It's like me. Why are you pinch hitting for me? Why am I playing this position?
Well, you have that in the book where the kid comes over and says, you know, why are you putting somebody in?
Yeah. And again, I tried to do everything for the best of the team and taking people's personal opinions and feelings out.
The book isn't life ain't the same in a Pecos League and Rogan's in studio. When a guy doesn't show up, guys go home and don't come back. You know?
Yeah, goodbye.
Yeah. And where is he? You know, I think he went home.
Yeah, did he leave his jersey? That's the main thing.
That was a big thing.
Next.
Wow.
You know, it's next up. So, and I had a guy coming late all the time. And,
and he was a good player.
He was a good player, and he's wondering why he's not in the lineup.
Yeah.
Well, batting practice is 5 o'clock. You show up at 5:20.
Yeah.
And I sent him home one time hoping to get that across to him. And it didn't sink in.
Has anybody you've been with now gone up?
A few guys have moved up.
Yeah.
Again, the goal of these guys, it's the lowest level of independent baseball. Independent meaning not affiliated with any major league team. And the Pecos League is the lowest level, and they hope to move up to like Frontier League, the American Association, Atlantic League. Those are the big ones. And then from there, they hope to maybe get into an affiliated thing. And there have been a few guys who've made it from the Pecos League to the major leagues in the 10-year existence of the league. 5 guys have made it.
You tell the story. There are families that adopt these guys. I never knew that either.
Yeah, host families.
Host families.
These guys don't have any money. They're out of college, and they come
You give them the lecture. Don't screw up with the host family.
Oh, yeah. You can't. You can't. Your host family is
taking care of you.
You know, otherwise you're out in the street.
Yeah.
And I told guys, if you're mean
don't
to
mess
your,
with a guy's wife, you know.
Yeah, exactly. If you're rude to the host family, you're not going to play for me.
Yeah.
You know, you got to treat these people like it's your family.
Yeah, no, you just dropped your seat.
Yeah, my seat
that was
just
pretty good.
Down.
That was a Billy Thorpe good day. No, but I like to think, don't mess with a guy's wife. wife, you know, like a good guy.
Just be a good citizen. And, you know, don't bring girls to the to your host family house.
Never good.
So, no.
Never good.
But here's the thing. It's a league of dreamers. Guys are chasing their dream. Most will fall way short. You know, to get to the major leagues from the Pecos League is an incredible journey. But five guys have made it. And it's like being in prison. If you're in prison and you say, man, I got 25 to life here. What? A guy escaped here 6 years ago? That gives you hope. It gives you hope that maybe I can get out of here.
There's prison stories are like, you know, the same kind of stuff, you know, like. And Ron Lau, the legendary Denver Fighter, when he went to prison, he played baseball. He was a catcher. And I got to know Ron really well, and we talked a lot, got a lot of great Ron Lau stories. But Ron Lau, before he learned to box, and he learned to fight in prison, which, you know, goes without saying, you know, learned to fight in prison. But he was a catcher. And a guy said he could have probably been made into bigs.
Wow.
You know, he was that gifted of an athlete.
He fought Ali, Ron Lau.
I used to sit with him, and I used to do a television show, and we did. And I feel good about this. There's a book about Ron Lau, and I'm in the book. And when Ron Lau died, but Ron Lau scared everybody. And I mean, when Ron Lau would come in the radio station, people would go the other way. Ron Lau, you know. but he fought George Foreman. One of the greatest fights of all time was who was the last one to get up, and was that Foreman fight, heart of a champion, heart of a lion fight, and he fought Ali. We always talked about it was a Vegas fight, and they stopped the fight and gave it to Ali. And he was ahead.
Yeah, Lyle was beating him pretty good.
I think he was, too.
Getting his shots in.
We used to sit and look at the fight.
And you mentioned Joe Louis earlier.
Oh, man.
Here's one for you. Who was the last guy to box Joe Louis?
Was it Marciano?
The Undertaker.
Oh,
that's a bad one. That is a bad joke, and I apologize.
Terrible joke. But
I apologize.
They made him take the tax fight.
Yeah, the fight against Rocky Marciano, Joe Louis should have never
taken the fight.
Even Marciano was looking, please stop this fight.
Didn't want to hit him, that's right.
Yeah. Same with like Larry Holmes and Ali.
He backed away.
And Larry Holmes is saying, please stop this fight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah please. And Larry Holmes is, again, one of those, the Eastern assassins. And Kevin Flynn, he was in the Rocky Mountain News, and then Kevin's now city councilman. Him and his brother grew up in Easton. And Larry Holmes used to chase him home from school. he said they were 15. Larry Holmes was 6. But Larry Holmes, I think, was one of the most under because they were in the shadow of Ali.
I remember in Pittsburgh, he fought a guy, Ronaldo Snipes.
Yes,
and Snipes put him down.
Call me Mr. Snipes.
Mr. Snipes from the Bronx, I believe, is from.
I met him. I met Mr. Snipes.
And so Snipes put him down.
Bone Crusher Smith, Mr. Snipes.
But when Holmes went down, it was like the eighth round. Yeah. It was late in the round. So he was able to get up and hold on for another 10 seconds. And then he came out in a fury a round or two later and knocked out Snipes.
We talked one time, and I adore the guy. And he just said, When he fought, he took that fight, and it was a money fight, and he took the fight, and he fought Tyson. And, of course, that's when the Kings flipped on him. And he said, what do you remember? And he said, I remember Don King and his son stepping over me to get over to Tyson. And then they screwed Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah. Don King was a shyster.
Oh, got everybody.
Yeah.
You know, but that's prize fighting. You know, it's like the fighters. And
I remember speaking about promoters, one of the great lines. Remember Bob Arum?
Oh, absolutely.
Caught him in a lie one time. He said, well, yesterday I was lying. Today I'm telling the truth.
I can't do it on the air. I got a Bob Arum story. I couldn't do it on the air. It was Bob Arum. We're sitting. We were doing this thing. And they said, John Beek was with me. Or I was with John. And they couldn't show Bob on TV because his girlfriend was with him. That's a true story. His wife might be home watching this, so keep the camera off of Bob. Come on. God, sit still. This guy could come. Actually, I could leave, and he could do the show easily. Life ain't the same in a Pecos League. The one and only Bill Rogan, how he manages baseball's most notorious independent league. Mortgage rates are so low lately, homeowners are knocking $400 to $500 off their mortgage payments, sometimes more. I did it. Think about it. Like ours do the Godfather. Mike, they said there's something in it for me, but they did it. And I'll give our friends over at American Financing a call. The mortgage consultants are sure to find the best deals, most savings. You got a custom loan designed around your needs, including the option to choose a shorter term because a refi doesn't have to mean resetting your loan to 30 years. Say bunches of dough. You're going to pre-qualify for free. Again, there's no upfront hidden fees. They're so straight with everybody. They did it for me. American Financing, 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Petrilli, 303-695-7000. I'm going to ask, because our lines are jammed, everybody wants to talk. I'm going to see if you can get back in here next week and sit down and take calls this time.
Absolutely. Whatever you want, Peter.
All right. We're coming back with one and only Bill Rogan after this.
On the air. KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
All right, we're making deals off air. And Billy's coming back and take calls because everybody wants. Let's call it hogging the guest. The man is in the studio, and Billy's already booked him to come back. He was Bill Thorpe's mentor in the dog track industry. The one and only Bill Rogan. Life ain't easy. Life ain't the same in a Pecos League on Amazon. I promise I was going to ask you all these different things, and next while you come back. Pete Rose, does he belong in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
I think so, yes.
And I think on his plaque, it should be noted that he was booted from baseball because that's part of his history. But the guy has the most hits of any player who ever played the game.
Incredible.
And I remember growing up watching Pete, and my dad said, that's the way you play the game.
Charlie Hustle.
And I was not blessed with a lot of talent. Thanks, parents. And that's the way I had to play. To play high school ball and college baseball, I had to be a scrapper.
Nuts, yeah.
And that's the kind of players I look for in the Pecos League, guys who can scrap.
What was a great line, the crazy guy wins. It's true. I mean, I believe that about this business, about radio. Yeah. The crazy guy.
Well,
wins.
One thing I always liked about radio, unique personalities. Yeah. I think in a lot of businesses, they look for the same cookie-cutter type of employee.
The IBM.
Yeah, in radio, I mean, there's tons of different, just here in KNUS. And I was here for 13 years. Yeah. I loved my stay here. And I still love the people here, Kelly and Brian and all the people here. Yeah. I really look back fondly at my time at KNUS. But there are a lot of goofy people that walk through the aisles here. Yeah. Of course, not me.
No.
That Moeller guy, though, that guy's nuts. That guy is off his rocker.
We always had the line, crazy guy wins. Fighting, you know, Billy Kahn.
Yeah,
what's the sense of being Irish, Billy Kahn? You know, like Joe Louis Emerson.
I remember a guy asked me, because I'm a Notre Dame football fan, he said, aren't you offended by the name? What, Fighting Irish? No, the Irish people fight.
Depends on where you grew up.
That's what they do. Right. I'm not going to get sensitive over that. Come on.
That's right. Remember they say in Ireland, you don't go to jail for fighting in Ireland, you go for not fighting. If a guy wants to fight and you don't want to fight, you go to jail.
Get this. You'll like this, Peter. I don't drink. I'm Irish. I was such a disappointment to my dad. He thought I must have been adopted or something.
No, the Rogans aren't drinking.
Yeah, my dad was a drinker. Everyone in my family's a drinker. My sister, you know, they all drank. And they're like, what's wrong with you, Billy?
Bobby,
what's wrong?
My mentor, Bob Lee, who was... God love him. Again, not one of those guys. But there's a guy who wanted to hire us, and we're in throngs of our stuff. I won't say his name. And we were at they had a celebrity bowling thing. And a guy's running this radio station. He's so cooked, he goes to bowl and won't let go. The old man gives me the elbow. He said, we don't want to work for him, kid. He's a drinker.
One of the funniest things I ever saw was at a bowling alley. The guy put the ball, and apparently his fingers were too big for the holes, and he went to throw the ball, went with it.
Oh, yeah. No,
he ended up halfway down the lane.
Wouldn't let go. The old man's giving me the elbow. Stories that need to be written. Did you ever bet? Did you ever bet on anything?
Yeah, I've bet. I haven't made a bet in like 20 years, but I used to bet when I lived in New York quite a bit, and it was on college football. I was really good.
Did you bet with bookies?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's the only way you could bet.
Of course, yeah.
Or you just bet with a friend.
Yeah, no.
And I bet college basketball quite a bit.
You were good at it?
I was okay.
Okay.
I usually broke even and stuff. When you hear problem gamblers, that's another code word for loser. The guy who gambles a lot and wins, he's never called a degenerate. It's only the guy who loses.
Well, they're degenerate gamblers.
And I worry now with all these gambling ads for all these gambling places that people are really going to start getting hooked on gambling.
Well, they have the tag on them for the problem gambling. Yeah. Like, it's like, if you have a problem with alcohol, give me a call. Yeah, right. That Coors wants you not to have a problem.
And I tell you what, the thing that scares me, especially college basketball, there have been fixes in the past in college basketball.
Henry Hill did it.
It's going to happen again. You
think so?
Yes, absolutely. You can get to these kids. They're on campus walking around. You say, hey, you going to the NBA? No, of course not. You can make some money. I'm not asking you to lose the game. Just don't win by 12 points or more.
See, I wanted to talk about the Black Sox, too. Provable fix. Well, do you think there are other fixes? I think fights have been fixed.
A lot of fights have been fixed.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
There's no question. Horse racing's fixed.
Yeah. I told you I did that book, My Life in the Mafia, a guy named Vincent Teresa. who had been a made guy and then wrote a book. And he said, yeah, we fixed horses all the time.
Well, I remember the trotters at the Meadowlands.
That was where it was. That's where they did.
And I remember being down along the rail, and there was a race, and one of these guys was convinced it was fixed. And he's yelling at the jockey, you fixed it?
Yeah.
And the jockey smiled at him and nodded his head.
Well, Vincent Tracy said, you fixed them not to win, you fixed them to lose.
Yeah.
He said, you know, they'll take a horse that's 14-1, and then these other horses, they slow them down or whatever they do to them, then a 14-1 comes in. And he said, we should call it the jockey's race.
Yeah, jockeys bet on the horses, too.
Look, we're getting there. Look, Kelly Michaels in the window, man. There we go.
There's my guy. I love Kelly.
I love it. He's my guy. Ladies and gentlemen, life ain't the same in a Pecos League. Bill Rogan, you'll be back in a couple of show days. You'll come back to it and take calls.
Or maybe I'll just be like Casey, just stroll in, put headset on. That's what Casey did.
Or you go back to the dog track.
There is no more dog track. They tore it down. I'm sad.
And Billy has to stay with me now. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday morning at 5 a.m. Stefan has the governor this afternoon. I got Rogan. He gets the governor. Do the math. See you Monday, everybody.
Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Corona.